comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors. Hi, folks. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. It's talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, and it is a place where you really do matter. I want to remind you, tomorrow is K-Files Day. That's our free weekly newsletter. And when we say free, we really mean free. And so it has no strings attached. So if you are not subscribed, be sure you go to my website. Go to, you'll see the link that says K-Files E-Zine. Click that and subscribe, all right? Then that way you'll get tomorrow's edition. And it's a good one. It's a good one. We've got some really good information in there. Of course, big in the news, and it will be for some time, is this calamity that has befallen Haiti. Just unbelievable destruction, indescribable loss of life, and very widespread injuries, and it's very much in the news. And you know, if you're disposed to help, this is a good time to help. Some of you may even be part of humanitarian organizations that are going there to help. Godspeed. Don't forget our members area. You know, in the members area, you can watch the Kevin Smith Show. And many of you are listening by radio. Many of you are listening on computers. Some of you are listening on cell phones, but you can watch the Kevin Smith Show by becoming a member. And then in the members area, you can see all the photographs and graphics and things that we display during the show. I think you'll like it. I could be wrong about that, but I think you'll like it. It's a good production. And by the way, I mentioned cell phones. Yes, you really can listen to the Kevin Smith Show on your cell phone. If I don't think it works if you're outside the USA. I'm not sure about that. But if you're inside the USA, certainly, and probably Canada. I have to check on that. I'm not sure about that. But you can, a lot of you are on those plans where you have unlimited minutes at nighttime. Well, there's a telephone number you can call, and a couple of codes to put in, and then you can listen to the show live on your cell phone, wherever you happen to be, while you're driving down the road even. You know, some of you have that adapter where you plug your cell phone into the speakers in your car, and then you can listen. And always, you know, if you have Wi-Fi radio, a lot of you have Wi-Fi radios. If you have a Wi-Fi radio, you can always listen to the Kevin Smith Show live on Wi-Fi radio as well. So there's no reason for you to miss. If you miss even just a second of the Kevin Smith Show, you could miss a universe of information. That's really more than a cliche. It's not just a cliche. It's true. I'll be back right after this, and Jerry Wills will be joining me. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Tonight is going to be our open line live night for this week. And as you know, I try to do at least one of those. Well, I try to do one of those each week. And as it works out, sometimes we can't. Also, as it works out, sometimes we have a guest who at the last minute tells us, hey, I can't do the show tonight. And if it's last minute enough, if it's close enough to showtime, I don't have time to get another guest. And so we have two open lines that week. Normally we just have the one open line live, and that will be tonight. We'll open up the telephones a little bit later. I've asked Jerry Wills to join me here. And Jerry, are you with me?
Hi, Kevin. I'm here.
Okay. Now, you know, Jerry, earlier today I called you and I set the audio levels, and everything has changed and I haven't touched anything. I can't explain it, but that's the way it is. So anyway, I'll adjust them as we go.
All right.
There you are. For some reason, that one, we could hear you just well when you said, all right. Okay, folks, you know Jerry Wills. You know him because he's been a frequent guest on the show. You know him because of Expeditions TV. You know him also because he is the associate host for this show. If I have to be away, Jerry is the host and does a fabulous job. And we recently decided to try an experiment. And that experiment was to have shows on the weekend. And Jerry would host those. Now, we went into this saying, okay, it's a test. We'll see how it goes. And what we were looking for is not only how does the audience respond, but also how does this work as far as Jerry doing the show? How does it work for him? And you need to understand, Jerry is in another studio. He's got a studio at his place. And so he's not sitting here with this equipment. He's sitting there with his equipment. And so it took some doing, and we finally got all the technical issues worked out, and Jerry did weekend edition. And I think two weekends, right, Jerry?
Yes, it was two weekends and a couple nights for you when you were away over Christmas.
Right. And so it was a period of testing, testing the waters from Jerry's point of view and testing the waters from the audience point of view. And I have to tell you that I have received a really positive response from the audience. I've got every email that I've gotten with regard to Weekend Edition, and there have been a number of emails. Every one of them has given it absolutely high marks, and just loved it. But from Jerry's side of the equation, let's find out what's his perspective as he tested the waters. So, Jerry, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Kevin. Hi, folks. It feels weird not sitting in front of the camera and saying hello to all of you. The show, doing the show, gosh, what an amazing experience. You know, I just really love doing the show. It's one of the things that was a high point for me every week. The downside was that there are so many things happening on my end that it was very difficult to put out a show with the quality that I felt that it had to have and do everything else that I'm doing. We have about a month-long journey into Peru coming up the end of March, and I've got to go back to New York for some time. And then there's a few other things happening I can't talk about just yet that are just in the works that are really very spectacular that I know that you'll be blown away when you find out the news. So the bottom line is, it's difficult for me to do the weekend edition and do everything else that I'm doing. And I've received, hundreds of emails, Kevin, from the folks who are watching on the weekend edition, just loving it. Everyone supporting you and supporting the show and supporting what I was doing. It was very encouraging. And it just left me feeling like I had really hit the mark and brought a show out on the weekend that was up to the same level of quality that you put out night after night. The ability to do that is a superhuman feat, folks. Kevin is doing something there that is beyond normal, and he's doing it for you. He works late into the night. He gets up early in the morning, and he just goes for it day after day. Unfortunately, I can't do that right now. It's just beyond the scope of my ability. If I continue trying to do the weekend shows, I won't be able to see people the way that I have for the healing. I know the show will slip and fall during the time I'm gone to Peru or to New York, and some of these other things that I can't tell you about yet, and I don't want that to happen. So I'm going to relinquish the weekend edition for now, but with those occasions when Kevin needs a break, when he needs to step out and get some fresh air, let's say, then I'll be there for him, and I'll be there for you. And also, one other thing is that there may be periodically, sometimes during the month, that I may put out a weekend edition. When I have some free time and I'm able to do it, then I'll put out a notice to my worldwide mailing list, and I know Kevin would as well. It'll be announced during the week, because we'll have that kind of time ahead that we know that we'll be able to do it. And we'll let you know when that's going to be. And like Kevin, I promise you, these shows will be blockbuster shows. I don't know if all of you who are listening was able to tune in to last Sunday's show. I've received thousands of emails that the folks who did listen were absolutely blown away. So that's the kind of show that I want to put out, because that means that I am holding up my end of making sure the Kevin Smith Show is the number one show on earth for bringing you information. That's my goal, and that's what I'll do for you when I can. But in those times that I can't, make sure you're tuned in to Kevin during the week and get your information that way. And I really want to thank everyone who was listening, who was watching, who was tuned in, and tell you how grateful I am that you were there, a part of the audience, a part of this great experiment. We'll do more later. We'll let you know when. Thank you, Kevin. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, you're certainly welcome, Jerry. And I want everyone to know, I want everyone to understand that Jerry is still the associate host here. The weekend edition was a trial. The only way to find out if things are going to work right is to do it. And so we did. And everything works right, except doing this show is, believe me, it's way more than turning on the camera, turning on the microphone, turning on the radio stream, sitting down here in front of a microphone for 2 hours at night. It takes anywhere from 12 to 16 hours of preparation before the show, just to get that show ready to go. And then there's the 2 hours of the show, and then there's a couple of hours of editing afterward. Jerry, did you find that it was that there was a whole lot more than meets the eye, and once you get into it, it very often becomes a tail wagging the dog? Did you find that?
absolutely. And you're right. It is, you know, 15 hours or more to get ready for the show. And that is for one night, folks. That's not for both shows that I did on the weekend edition. That was 15 hours for one show. And then we had the second night, which was another, you know, it wasn't all in one moment for me. It was spread out through the entire week, but it was eating up the entire week doing it. And then after the show, there are the K-pods that have to be made. Then there are the video streams that have to be put up so that you can watch last night's show, which I really, I didn't do too well on that one. I ran into a few little problems. But, you know, there's a lot involved. It's just absolutely incredible. And then, of course, Kevin, what I would do after hours, that was another hour on top of all of it, and that was even more editing, more time on the computer, more processing mm-hmm. to try and get that done.
Yeah, it's, I know, whenever I say, folks, there's a way lot more than what you hear and see during the 2 hours we're live. There is a phenomenal amount of work. And I know when I say that, nobody can really imagine what all is involved, and there's no reason why they should. But I know that you can't imagine it. And how do I know that? Because there was a time before I was doing this, and when I decided I was going to start doing all that we're doing, I had no idea how many steps are involved to make all this happen. And I couldn't imagine. And, you know, so it very, very quickly turned into two full-time jobs, sometimes three. Because, you know, I work, Jerry can tell you, I work anywhere from 18 to 20 hours every day, and that's not a joke. And if you can imagine, you know, Jerry's talking about 15 hours to get ready for a show, and that's one show. Now imagine doing two shows, because he did Saturday and Sunday, that's a 30-hour work week. Well, then you add the 2 hours of each show when he's sitting there live, so it's a 34-hour work week to just get Saturday and Sunday done. Now imagine that. That's a pretty hefty schedule. And I do it every day. Okay, so I don't get to spread mine out during the week. I get to do my 15, 16 hours today before the show, and then do it again tomorrow, and then do it again the next day. So, and by the way, this is one of the reasons that, you know, it's so important for those of you who are supporting the show financially. Thank you so much. Because if you didn't do that, I have to go out and find a 40-hour a week job, and that takes 40 hours out of being able to produce this show. And there are not 40 hours to take out of it. So that's why it's so important. But Jerry, I think you did a great job on these weekend shows, and you know, if things change, if your schedule changes where you feel that you can do these every weekend, you certainly are welcome to do them. You did a great job. The audience responded well, and you know, I want to applaud you for a tremendous effort. It didn't look or sound like a test, like an experiment. It was really top notch, and I appreciate it. Let's give Jerry some applause here. All right. Jerry, talk with me for a moment about some of these topics that we discussed earlier today, and then we'll open up the phone lines. You know, one of the things that has really been making the rounds in our genre has been a new picture that's come from NASA. And this new picture is a picture of the surface of Mars. Now, in this picture, we see things that appear to be standing up on top of some of these sand dunes on Mars, and what it appears to be trees. I don't know. Jerry, are you where you're able to see the computer and see what's up on the screen right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking at it with everyone else, Kevin. That's really an astonishing photo.
All right, now let me tell you what you think that's astonishing. Let me tell you something more astonishing. NASA says this is an optical illusion, and that really what this is, that's just, those are trails of dark surface material that have sort of drained off down the sides of these sand dunes.
Yeah, of course. I can see that clearly with the guy standing there with a buzzsaw in his hand.
There even appears to be, I'm showing a very small section of a very large picture. But if you look, there are two stands of trees in this picture. I'm calling them trees because that's what they look like. And if you look at the top stand, there are two stands. So the one furthest away, the top group, you have one of the trees sort of in the middle that's bent to the right and looks like it may be kind of broken over to the right. Do you see that?
Yeah, I see that.
I don't know how this could possibly be dark trails of surface material. I just don't see it. This gives all the appearance of standing up. It's not laying on the ground, it's standing up. At least that's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, it looks like plants. I mean, you can see through them to see the texture of the ground beyond them.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I can't buy the NASA version. They may be exactly right, and they may be telling us the truth. I wonder what they would say, I wonder what they have said about this next picture that looks like a forest of pine trees. We'll talk about that when we come back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Joining me on the show tonight, our associate host, Jerry Wills. Jerry, did you make it through the break?
Yeah, I'm here, Kevin.
We had such incredible problems last night, Jerry, with trying to keep Francis Barwood online. It was absolutely unreal, and there was no interference with anything that was happening here. Okay, everything that was happening here was working, but she was having interference on her phone, and we'd go to break and we'd try a different number. We even tried her fax number, and finally I figured out a way to kind of get around some stuff, and I'll share that with you sometime. But I had to go to the method, in order for this to work, I was using, if this gives you any idea, three different phone systems hooked together. They're not extension lines, they're completely different systems. And I ran them together, and I'll show you how I did it. And then, so then when a caller called to talk with Francis, we were hearing him over the regular broadcast equipment, the digital hybrid. She was hearing the caller over a set of speakers. And then we were hearing her over a microphone that was dangling above a speakerphone. It was just incredible. All right. Jerry, you brought up today something I think we ought to give a lick and a promise, and that is Apocalypse Island. It seems this topic has started gaining a lot of popularity, and even the History Channel has done a documentary on this. What do you know about it?
Well, I don't know a lot. I've been doing some reading. There's not a lot of information out there. It'll, you know, mostly what's available to everyone. And from what I've been able to determine, it's an island that's off of, it's out in the South Pacific, I think. So like I say, I don't know a lot about it, but I think it's an island off out in the South Pacific off of either Australia or New Zealand.
Well, let me tell you what I found. I found several places where they say it's 400 miles west of Chile.
Oh, okay.
So it's really out there in the middle of nowhere. So 400 miles west of Chile, that would put it south of Hawaii, a long distance. It would put it east of Australia, a long distance. It's just kind of out there by itself.
Well, you know, like I said, we're going down to South America in the end of March and into April. If I get some coordinates, who knows?
Who knows?
Charter a flight, get out there.
Yeah. The History Channel documentary, the guy that ran across, just kind of happened upon this island and a monument that was on it, which appeared to be a Mayan monument. It took him 10 years to get an expedition together and get it funded where he could get out there and really do an expedition. And he did, and it's History Channel filmed it and put it on. It's called Apocalypse Island because, according to his theory, the Mayan prophecies speak of the first god-king who would be raised on the last day of this age. He would be raised back to life, or we would use the term resurrected.
Right.
This monument is aligned to the sunrise as it will be in that location on December 21st, 2012. And he thinks that the Mayan people believed that this god king would be raised back to life at that time, on that date, at sunrise. And he said that because of that, he thinks that the tomb of that king is right there. It's either in the monument, under the monument, or right near the monument on Apocalypse Island. You told me about another place where there is a similar legend.
Yeah, actually, and it's not too far as the crow flies. In relative terms, that would be Tiwanaku. As we discussed on a previous show, and if folks want to go to expeditionstv.com, they can take a look at the video presentation, Tiwanaku. This place is in northern Bolivia, near the Peruvian border, and right on Lake Titicaca. It's not right on it, but it's close. And it is absolutely aligned to, I'm all tongue-tied. I'm all excited. On December 21st, 2012, at sunrise, the great statue that's standing there looks through the doorway at the rising sun, and that is the moment when we're in perfect alignment to the center of the galaxy.
And do they, at that location, do they think that this God King is going to be resurrected there, or do they reference that at all?
They don't reference that because Tiwanaku is still about 85% buried under deep layers of silty sand. They don't know a whole lot about Tiwanaku, really. They know who was there in the past couple thousand years. But you have to remember, the Tiwanaku was probably built 20,000, 27,000 years ago or so. Different cultures who evolved and rose to power used that site, embellished it with their own needs, and covered up what was there and built on top of it, used it as the foundation. Now they're digging down through all of that, finding the actual remains of Tiwanaku, and it's vast. When we were there, we saw three hills on the Altiplano that are nearby to Tiwanaku. We had seen them for years and years in going down there. These three hills are actually three pyramids, and as we got down there and started talking to the archaeologists, the researchers, we discovered that all these hills that we see around Tiwanaku are actually they're actually step pyramids that are built all around this huge place.
So when we say that only about 20% of Tiwanaku has been excavated, we could say that only about 20% of it has been revealed.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the level of knowledge on who built this is missing. No one has that detail.
Now, Apocalypse Island has been revealed. That's something pretty new to us, really new to us. And that has been revealed. And it's kind of interesting that they use the term apocalypse. Because, Jerry, I see people use it all the time in with the meaning of some kind of great planet-buster cataclysm. And the word apocalypse does not mean that at all. It's not even first cousins to that. Okay? It's not tenth cousins. It's absolutely does not mean cataclysms, catastrophes, etc. It's two Greek words. I read a review of my book, Gods in the Garden, by a guy who, he's a nice guy, he's been on the show, and somebody asked him some questions that I guess were uncomfortable questions, and he said that my interpretation, which is, there is no interpretation, it's translation, but he says that it's nonsense, because when we talk about gods, it is in the plural form, but he says it's in the cohortative mood. I won't get into all that, but come on, Mike, I read Hebrew too. He said I ought to just stick with what I know, which is talk shows. Yeah, well, I know Hebrew too, Mike. And cohortative has nothing to do with whether it's plural or singular. It has to do with the fact that a person can exhort people to do something with him or discourage them from doing something with him. Okay, like let's go get a hamburger. Okay. Now, I said that to say this. I also read Greek. And it's two Greek words. Apokalypso. Those are the two Greek words. Apocalypse is an anglicization of two Greek words. Apokalypso. Apo means from. Kalypso means hiding. So, from hiding. All right. If we want to put it into one word and translate it with one English word, we could say to reveal or revelation. That's why the last book in the Bible is called in English Revelation, because its title in Greek is Apokalypso. Okay? So it just means to reveal. Well, Jerry, Apocalypse Island has just been revealed to us. And all this stuff about alignment with the sunrise on December the 21st, 2012, there on the island and at Tiwanaku. All of that is just being revealed to us in the past few years. And Tiwanaku, only 20% of it has been revealed so far, and I suspect a great deal more will be revealed. There are a lot of things coming to light, being revealed to us. I think we could say, without too much contradiction, that we are, in fact, living in the times of the apocalypse. But the apocalypse means the revelation. Things coming to light, it doesn't mean cataclysm.
Or it's the unveiling.
Unveiling is another good translation for it. Yeah. So we're finding out things about the past here on this planet. We are finding out things, of course, in the last book of the Bible, which has that name, Apocalypso. It has to do with revealing things into the future. And but we're finding out things about the past here on this planet that we never knew before. And they are very important. But we're also probably finding out some things about the future. And in that book that I mentioned, Apocalypso, or Revelation, there's actually the landing of a massive mothership. Did you know that? Yeah, there's a landing of a massive mothership in the book of Revelation. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to step away for a break, and when we come back, we'll continue and we'll open up the phone lines for you. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I think I misspoke. I think I said cohortative tense when I was saying what he had written about the Hebrew language there. And it's not cohortative tense. It's cohortative mood. All right. So just to be specific. All right. We're going to open up the telephone lines. And Jerry, you still with me? Boy, I'll tell you, after last night, I have to check after every break, because after last night, man, oh man, that was talk show hell trying to keep everything running last night. All right, the telephones are open, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889, or toll-free in the USA and Canada, 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message by going to my website, scroll down, and you'll see the link that says flash message. But you must be outside the USA or outside Canada. Our filters catch most of them that come through Canada or the USA, or from Canada or the USA, and they dump them. We don't ever get to see them. Okay, so if you're in Canada or the USA, hey, I even pay for the call. There's no reason not to pick up your telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and, oh, that caller disappeared. If I answer the phone and put you on hold, please stay there. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. Jerry, it's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. Yeah, I think I was first one that mentioned, I asked Jerry when he had, oh, heck, he slips my mind now all of a sudden. The first.
That's okay. Just go for the topic.
About that Apocalypse Island. Yeah, I asked him about it, and he didn't know about it, but his guest did hear, seen it on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Jerry said something about, you know, he might get an airplane and go out there. I don't think the island is big enough and equipped for an airplane from what I could tell, from what I've seen of it, you know, unless, you know, he takes a Harrier or something like that, or a helicopter. It seems to be pretty hard to get to, and it's small. You know, it's a very interesting, you know, topic there. You know, and also, I'd like, you know, you're showing that stuff, you know, on Mars and things.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, you know, I feel kind of frustrated, you know, where, you know, we can't even get them to tell us the truth about our own planet. I mean, there's so much here we don't know about, you know, the oceans and everything, and we can't even get them to tell us the truth about what's here, you know, and, you know, they're hiding stuff from us, and, you know, we expect them to tell us the truth about the planets. I mean, we've got to start, you know, in our own backyard, you know, and get, you know, and get the truth, and, you know, and quit the bumpkis, and, you know, and move on from there, you know. You know, we act like we're big astronauts, so we know everything. I'm sure some people do, but, you know, the mass majority of us don't.
Well, I don't disagree with anything you said. And you know, the only way to get to what is the truth is, you know, you have to sift through a whole lot of stuff that's not true. And I want to make, because you brought that up, I want to make this point, and it's important. A lot of the stuff that comes from UFO and extraterrestrial enthusiasts, people that are interested in that, a lot of that stuff that comes up, it turns out, is not true. But there's more garbage in what we get from official sources. There's a little bit of truth in what they tell us, but then they mix in a whole heaping helping of garbage with it. And the only way to find out what is true is you have to sift through all of it. We have to go dumpster diving for news and for information. And then you sift through all this garbage to come up with the stuff that's good, that is true. And so sometimes I get emails, Terry, from people who say, you ought to have only the people on your show that are presenting the truth. Yeah, well, how are you going to know until you hear them?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep.
All right, Terry.
That's just all I had to say. You know, I found that pretty interesting. It was with Tom Horn, I think, when Jerry had Tom Horn on. I mentioned it to him.
Okay.
You know, and there's just so much out there, you know, like I said, in our backyards. And, you know, if we could only realize, you know, half of it, we'd be, you know, totally overwhelmed, I believe, you know, without even reaching out into space. So.
All right.
I think that's all I have.
All right. Thanks for the call, Terry. What do you think, Jerry?
I think if you want to really have the hair stand up on your head, read Apollyon Rising, 2012, the book Tom Horn wrote. Absolutely unreal. I mean, the material in there just makes you sit back and go, holy mackerel.
Are you sure you said mackerel?
Mackerel, yes.
Uh-huh. When you said holy, I put my finger over on the kill button. I was not real sure what that next word was going to be. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello.
Hi,
there.
Kevin.
Hello there, Jerry. Hey, Jerry. Yeah, you know, you look at all this thing, you want to say, what the bleep is going on here, huh?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and, you know, the word apocalypto, you know, you got it right, Kevin. It's the revelation, and who's going to be revealing themselves? Do you guys think it's going to be the Watchers that are going to finally reveal themselves?
Well, I think it's going to be a revealing of everything. I mean, the curtains are coming down, you know, we're going to see who's pulling the levers behind the curtains. The Wizard of Oz is about to be revealed. But now specifically, if you're talking about the last book of the Bible, it's called Apocalyptus because it states it in there, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, now there's a lot of things that are foretold that will happen, but the theme through that book is that there's going to be this landing, and who's driving is going to be Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, if this is going to be the real deal, you know, I would suggest for the listeners to you know, to read up on stuff, you know, some of the ancient on all the ancient cultures and how they dealt with the quote unquote gods in the past. You know, read up on some of the Jerry Will stuff, your stuff, Gods in the Garden, and as well as might want to pick up some books from Graham Hancock and Zechariah Sitchin. Might want to read up on how the ancient Sumerians and other ancient cultures used to interact with these gods, so that when these people do finally come back, when they finally decide to show themselves, we'll know, I guess you could, how to communicate with them, so to say. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think the biggest lessons we can learn from how these ancient civilizations dealt with them in the past is they didn't do very well. And those ancient civilizations are gone. And maybe we don't need to deal with these returning beings in the same manner.
Well, if you really look at a lot of the ancient workings, especially over since the last couple of ages, the last time that these fellows were here, there was a huge natural cataclysm that befell the Earth. And that was at the end of the last ice age between 15,000 and 8,000 B.C., where something happened in this solar system that it completely destroyed the entire solar system. Not just here, but it melted the ice caps here. It completely melted all the huge end of the ice age so rapidly that all the ice melted and caused a huge flood that all these cultures talk about. And you know, because the same flood myths you find in South America as you do in
yeah, but that doesn't have anything to do with how we interact with these gods. We have to go to a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this.
Phoenix, Arizona. This is the Kevin Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and along with me tonight, our associate host, Jerry Wills. And it is Open Line Live. That means we'll talk about what's on your mind, as long as it's within our genre, all right? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hello, yes. This is Mark from New York.
Hi, Mark.
How you doing, Mark? Tonight? Hey, how you doing, Jerry?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good. Listen, this is kind of interesting. I'm sitting here listening to this, and I'm drawing a possible correlation between... I have to you know, mention that I haven't read Tom Horn's book yet, so I'm only going on what I've read on his website. But this monument on Apocalypse Island is 150 feet tall. And I sit here and I'm thinking that the Mayan prophecy that this scientist, and I forget his name, I saw the documentary, but I his name escapes me. But I do recall that there's going to be a raising of a god, 2012, December 21st, 2012, which I'm sitting here and I'm drawing this correlation between what Tom Horn is saying, the rising of Apollo, which is tied in with the U.S. Government and Mason activity and the Washington Monument. Again, I don't know a lot about it, but I haven't read the book, but I'm drawing this correlation in my mind, and I find it fascinating that these two predictions match up. And one is a Mayan prediction, and the other is a Masonic prediction. What do you think of that?
Well, go for it, Jerry.
The thing that really astonishes me about all of this is that the gods that are referred to, that the obelisk in Washington, the Washington Monument, refers to, also the obelisk in Vatican City and the obelisk at, I forget where it's at, I think it's Luxor in Egypt, they all have the same basic mythology. They're calling the gods by different names, and the god, basically, with a small g, has been called by different names, but it's the same deity, and that deity is known to us as Lucifer. And the interesting thing in the correlation about this is that this site over in the South Pacific, they're referring to their version of the same person. But it doesn't say necessarily that this god is going to rise up. I think that it's a bit of a misconception that they're saying that he's going to rise up, because I'm looking at the inscription here, and it says that he will descend from the stars. It's not absolutely literal, because part of the inscription, this is from Tabasco, Mexico, that point to the 2012 date. This is called Tortuguero, or El Tortuguero, in Tabasco, Mexico. And it's the one site that Tom Horn pointed me to that then points over to Apocalypse Island. And in this in this reading of the inscription, and there's not much of it left, but what it says here, the 13th Baktun is going to be finished on Four Aha, the 3rd of Konkan, and at that time the god's going to descend. Then it goes on to say something else here, but it's just fascinating when you take a look at what's going on with the layout of Washington, the layout of Vatican City, the layout of Luxor, how all these things, and then when you take it to Apocalypse Island, you know, this is a place that is really obviously quite remote. I don't know. There's a very strange set of circumstances involving all of this. The thing I guess I found the most astonishing was that they're talking about the gods returning, descending, not rising up out of the grave. And that's pretty much what the Bible has to say. That Jesus is returning in a cloud, coming down. All the gods are coming back, one way or the other, from the sky.
Sounds like the cosmic war is not over, and perhaps at that point it's on.
Yeah, I think you may be right. Because from what I've been able to ascertain, the earth was divided up into several different areas, and these different gods had rule over these different areas.
Yeah.
But there was one main god, and that one main god that was over all of them was Lucifer. In our terminology.
Osiris in the Egyptian terminology, Apollo in the Greek terminology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, Mark, thank you so much for the call. Very interesting. 623-444-5889 is the number that you need to call if you wish to make a comment, or if you've got a topic you'd like for us to talk about. It's open line live. That means we'll talk about whatever is on your mind. The toll-free number in the United States and Canada is 888-223-4599. If you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, okay, so if you're in Germany or you're in Australia or you're in Vietnam, Taiwan, Norway, Sweden, France, the UK, wherever you are, you're not in the USA, you're not in Canada, you, if you wish, can send me a flash message, and you can do that by going to my website. The website is kevinsmithshow.com, and you'll see the link that says flash message. We have one, Jerry, from a flash message from Peter in Columbia.
Uh-huh.
He says, I'd like your ideas on the Fayetteville incident. This was featured on the MUFON TV series, UFOs Over Earth. It involved a close encounter case in North Carolina and entities. I just watched it on YouTube. The witness seemed very convincing, but when they gave him a lie detector test, he failed. Even if you're not familiar with the case, perhaps you can at least comment from your police background on whether people can fail lie detector tests and still be telling the truth. Yes, they can. Is it the usual thing? No, it is not. It is not usual at all. Okay? So, if you're telling the truth, can you fail a lie detector test? Yes, you can. I'm sorry?
I was just going to say, I have an experience with that as well. I got accused of smoking pot.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted me to take a lie detector test, and I took it, and I failed. And I don't do that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, you know, it can happen. And that's why if you're really looking for the truth, you don't do just one test. You need three tests and compare the results. Minimum of three tests. All right, we have a caller on the line. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Stefan from Quebec City, Kevin. How are you?
Good. How are you, Stefan?
I'm doing excellent. Jerry, great to have you collaborating with Kevin on the show. You're a really great addition to the show. And what I'd like to ask both of you is in regards to Revelations and where it talks about the return of a person or being or Jesus or Christ, however we wish to call that, what do you think the manner of that, why do you think they're going to be coming here in friendship, or do you think they're going to be cleaning up house, or... Like, I know it says that there's going to be a war, or do you think they're just going to take people away? What do you think the manner of that is? I know that's a really kind of off question, but...
Jerry, you go for it first.
All right, thank you, Kevin. And thank you for the compliment. I really appreciate that. Everything that I've read about this suggests that whoever's coming back thinks that they own us, that we are under their spell, and that we're going to be the ones who are going to bow and serve. So in that relation, in, at least in relation to that concept thinking and how it's being portrayed, no matter how innocuously it's being portrayed, it's still being portrayed like that. I don't think any being that comes to this planet expecting that we're going to bow in servitude is going to be very pleased with the outcome. Because there's a lot of people who won't. So, in that context, I don't think they're coming back as our buddy. I think they're coming back as our ruler.
And I don't disagree. And I think people who are very much, if you ask them, do they believe the Bible and do they read the Bible, and so they're very much in that stream, and they say yes. I believe the Bible, and I think it's the inspired Word of God, and I think those people would agree as well. Now, they would carry it a step further and say, yeah, it's true, there are going to be a lot of people who are not pleased that anybody, including Jesus, shows up to be a ruler. They don't want to be ruled. And, you know, those people are going to have a very rough reception.
Yeah.
Very and, it, you know, and it says that.
And great luck to both of you.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you.
623-444-5889. Open line live tonight, and the toll-free number 888-223-4599. Have a flash message from Tony in Australia. He says, Kevin, how far away are you from Jerry's house? Is it a short walk, or do you have to drive to Jerry's place? Well, I don't drive anywhere, folks, because I don't own a car. But when Jerry comes here, how long does it take you, Jerry?
About 45 minutes. You're about 40 miles away.
And we're still in the Phoenix area. This place is spread out all over this desert. Okay, let's go back to... Yeah, go ahead, Jerry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, to give you some idea, it's about 100 miles from end to end and about 50 miles through the center.
What, the valley?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Phoenix and its suburbs occupy most of that space.
Yeah.
Okay, back to the telephone, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Paul from Australia.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
Yeah, great. I've got to tell you about what happened to me 10 years ago. I went out the back to have a cigarette, and I looked up, and there was just amber orbs everywhere. And about 6 feet away from me, there was one right in front of me, just right staring right in front of me. So I lit a cigarette, and I looked at this thing, and it was molten copper, and they were everywhere. I'm talking the whole sky was filled with them about 3 o'clock in the morning. This thing then turned into the Eye of Horus. It went from molten copper, and then it turned into brass, like it was like shining brass, the Eye of Horus. Just like the, and I didn't know anything about any of this. And then the next night I went out and I saw them again. You know, I could tell you the whole thing, it'd take ages, but... They were over next door's house and everything, and then they were just moving everywhere. The sky was filled with them. There was more of them than there was sky, and it was 3 o'clock in the morning. This thing, and I put it out of my mind for 5 years because I didn't tell anyone, because who would believe it, you know? But I've been remembering it so well lately because I've been focusing on what happened. This thing was 6 feet away from me, staring me right in the face, and it was so bright that it was hard to look at. And when it turned into the Eye of Horus, it looked just like the cursive that they do in Egyptian. You know, I didn't know anything about any of this sort of stuff. And then I read about a lot of stuff, and I've discovered they could have been seraphim from the Bible.
Uh-huh.
That's all I can come up with, the shining ones, the things that Ezekiel saw, you know? I love the show, great show. Wow. I'm nervous, but what do you do?
Well, let me ask you this now. When this happened to you, did it shake you up emotionally?
No, not emotionally. I just came and sat back inside and went, oh my God, you know, who's going to believe this? And I just sat there and thought, I hope they don't come and kidnap me or anything, you know, but get abducted. So I kept some cigarettes going all night. And then I walked out again the next night, and then they were there again. I couldn't believe it. And then I came back here. It was like they were giving me a second chance to see what they are. But when it turned into that Eye of Horus, it was like shining brass. It was just molten copper. They were just like the size of a beach ball. And this turned into the Eye of Horus. You know, I didn't even know what that was, but it was the right one. Hold on. Yeah. It was just like the things they put on the wall, you know, of the, you know, like the Egyptians, you know, how they draw it. It was just like that. This thing turned into the eye, and it was like molten copper. I could have touched this thing. It was just above the clothesline. You know, so that was just
a spectacular thing. Australia, are you in?
In Adelaide, in the foothills.
Well, but I don't know. I'm not familiar with Australia, but where is that?
Oh, down the bottom of Australia.
Well, I'm familiar with Australia and have been to Adelaide. What a beautiful place!
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Not too bad. You should see Phoenix.
The scary things happen here.
Well, this is amazing.
Try and explain that to me, that the molten copper, and then it turned into the Eye of Horus. The sky was filled. There was at least, you know, there was hundreds of them. I'm not saying there was 10 or 20. I used to say that to people. There was about 30 of them. But there were hundreds of them. The whole sky was completely filled. And I'm amazed that, nope, it wasn't all in the newspapers. There were so many of them. They were just everywhere. They're only 20, 30 feet above me. But this one was 6 feet in front of me, just staring right at me. And then it turned from molten copper. It was still molten copper. It was like just molten copper, amber. And then it turned into like polished brass, you know, the Eye of Horus.
Mm-hmm.
The thing was, I've done a lot of study trying to figure out what it was, and that's what Ezekiel saw, something like that, you know?
Well,
from what
he,
I can tell, that's what Ezekiel saw.
He actually uses the description of burnished brass.
Yep,
he calls it, he describes it as amber. And, you know, now an interesting thing about that, Paul, the word that he uses for amber, whenever the rabbis during the Hellenistic period translated from Hebrew into Greek, they used as the translation into Greek the word electra.
Yeah.
From which we get electricity. Now, my professor had 5 earned PhDs, one in chemistry, one in physics, and then several in, you know, like ancient languages, Hebrew, and he's dead now, but he was the acknowledged authority, the authority on the Hebrew language while he was alive. And in fact, he is the one who developed the curriculum that if you decide to immigrate to Israel, you have to learn Hebrew. And the curriculum you'll be taught, he wrote it. Okay? Now, he said this. He said it's very interesting that they use the word electra because, he said, we know everything there is to know about electricity except what it is.
Yeah.
He said, we don't really know if it's physical or if it's non-physical. And he said, as far as most physicists who think there is a spirit world, and there's not many who think that, but he said, as far as they are concerned, electricity is the dividing line between matter and spirit.
But how's about when it turned into the Eye of Horus? It looks just like the... You know how they've got it looks like cursive. It had, had the tear that like the it was just incredible.
Yeah.
And I'd never get over it. You know.
I don't know. That is. Jerry, have you ever heard of anything like that before?
No, I've never. I'm fascinated by this. Just absolutely blown away.
Yeah. Well, you should have been there.
I wish.
But nobody else was there. I was on my own. My goodness. You know, if there was somebody else there, I would have been holding their hand.
Yeah. Really. Really?
Yep. Look, these things were like everywhere, hundreds of them. But I'm not the only person up this area that's seen them. You know, I had a friend 15 years ago, him and his girlfriend were chased by one of these things, and I said, yeah, right. Yeah, sure. And then, you know, zap, then I see him, you know. But it was the most incredible experience of my life. Totally silent. I've been wanting to ring you for years to tell you, but I'm a bit shy.
Well, I'm glad you did, because nobody else has ever told us anything quite like that. But now, when did this happen to you?
In just after the year 2000. It was about March 2000.
Okay, but you have a friend that had witnessed the same thing about 15 years ago.
15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Wow.
In the same area. He only witnessed one that chased him home to their place. Him and his girlfriend ran home. It was just amazing.
Well, if you see something else, make sure you call in and let us know.
Yeah, well, it took 10 years to ring you.
Yeah, well, don't take so long next time.
I love the show. You guys are really cool. You know?
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the call.
If somebody could ring up and tell you what that was, but the Eye of Horus has got something to do with all this. This thing looked at me. Just incredible. And it was so bright, it was hard to look at, you know?
It was
so bright, and it was like molten copper. You know, I was 6 feet away from this one. I put that one right out of my mind and looked at the one that was 50 feet away because it wasn't so bright. The one that was next door, it was hovering over next door's, almost looking through their window, you know? And I ran back inside the first night and looked out the window and to see if there was any aliens or anything out there, and there were just these things everywhere. You know, and I kept
mm-hmm.
shaking my head like, is this for real? You know, and it was real, you know.
Outstanding.
Anyone I tell this to thinks I'm nuts, though.
Well, not here. Not here on this show.
That's because you're nuts, too.
Yes, perhaps I am. Perhaps I am. Paul, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. All the best to you. And let me say, what an absolutely stunning country you live in. I love it. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. And we will talk about whatever is on your mind. Now, you see, Jerry, that's what I like about Open Line Live.
Oh, yeah. That's great. That's just absolutely amazing. Over the top amazing.
It really is. It really is. Let's see. Also from Australia, Rob writes, Mr. Smith, I would like to ask Jerry and yourself and your listeners if Pakal's tomb lid depicts a telescope rather than an ancient astronaut. Notice the position of the eyepiece and the petals in order to swivel the telescope. That could be.
I've been to Pakal's tomb.
What do you think? You've seen it up close and personal. What do you think about it?
Oh, my gosh. It is a trip. Yeah, I climbed down into the belly of that pyramid.
We have to hear the rest of that story when we come back from break, Jerry. All right, we'll pick up right there at Pakal's tomb. We'll be back. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is Open Line Live, and with me tonight is our associate host, Jerry Wills. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, this is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Chris.
How you doing, fellas?
Good.
Hi there.
I was hoping to kind of bounce something off you, and you know, I respect both you guys immensely, and I know you've seen enough in your life to kind of form some opinions about some stuff. And
okay, shoot.
As certain as I am. I'm sorry?
I said, okay, shoot.
Oh. do you feel that we as human beings are being physically manipulated, perhaps genetically manipulated, perhaps to stop some form of evolution that might be taking place in 2012, some kind of spiritual awakening? Do you think that there might be some kind of, perhaps like the blinders coming off, and maybe there's a rush to try to stop mankind from being able to see somehow? And maybe that's what a lot of experimentation and genetic tampering, you know, vaccinations and the like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it could be. I don't know of any intentional genetic manipulation of the human race. There may be. I don't know whether, when I say intentional, I don't know that there's, that you can follow this back to a group or a person who has the intent to manipulate the genetics of the human race. But our genetics are being manipulated by pharmaceuticals, by genetically engineered food. It's our genetic code is being manipulated by changes in the sun, in the solar cycle. We are a work in progress, and there are a lot of things assaulting us. And we live, here I am talking to you, I'm on the radio. Now, you may be listening on a computer, or you may be listening on a cell phone, which is a radio, or you may be listening on AM or FM. Regardless of how you're listening to this show, you're exposed to radiation to listen to the show. Your computer puts off radiation, your cell phone does. AM and FM signals are running through you. All the AM and FM signals on the planet are running through you right now. Now, does all of that, and on top of that, then there's all the radar units that cops have, and you know, all the radar that all the airports are using and the weather stations are using. All of that has to have an impact on our genetic code. And so are we being manipulated? Yes, we are. Is it with intent? I have not seen anything that would lead me to say yes, but it is happening anyway. Jerry, what do you think?
I don't think we're being intentionally manipulated with the idea of changing us or dumbing us down. I think that we are being manipulated with the information that we receive, but not at a genetic level.
Yeah.
It's just so weird. It just, there's this kind of, I don't know, just an odd, overwhelming urge. It seems like something's about to change, and then there's a, seems like a force that something's trying to stop the change. And I, you know, I don't know. Who knows? It's just, I guess it's just Mother Nature, you know, in the cycle of things.
Well, I don't know. Now, look, it depends on whether you, well, it really doesn't depend on this, but some people think that there is a, just as real as the material world, there is a spiritual world. Okay? Now, if that's true, it really doesn't matter whether you think it's true or not. If it's true, it's true. If it's not true, it doesn't matter if you believe it, because if it's not true, it's not. You follow what I'm saying? But if there is a spirit world, and there, and if there are things that are moving towards some type of a climax here at planet Earth within that spirit world, to the extent that you are open and receptive to impulses from the spirit world, you may be picking up that sense that something big is about to happen.
Yeah.
Have you read the Celestine Prophecy by any chance?
I have not. I did read God in the Garden. And that kind of...
The book Celestine Prophecy. What you're talking about there is the first insight. And I think if you read the book, or better yet, watch the movie. It's a pretty good movie. I've seen that all of the insights in that book, I've seen firsthand that they're real, including the ninth insight. And what you're talking about is the first insight, and I think this is probably something that's time for you to read.
Well, we'll do that. Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate the information, sir. And the author of this book is who?
All right.
It's by the author of the book is I'm drawing a blank. James Redfield.
Excellent. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I'll let you go, Kevin. I appreciate it. You guys have a good night.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
I think people are picking things up, whether you want to say spiritually or psychically. Those are very closely related concepts. I think people are picking up that something is up here. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin from Beaverton.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey. I just want to throw a theory out there.
Okay.
I was wondering if the reason why animals are more in tune with the planet than we are is because we are not entirely of this planet and therefore lack most of that ability.
Now, that's an interesting concept, Kevin. What do you think, Jerry?
Well, it reminds me of a movie I saw recently called Avatar. And in this movie, the people were very connected to the planet and to the animals. I think what's happened is that we have developed our intellect and moved away from that part of ourselves that allows us to connect with each other and to the animals. And I think that it all has to do with going back in time in our current culture scenario to the church, so that we wouldn't connect to each other, we would connect to one Godhead figure. The paganism, which people were burned at the stake for, they were connected to the earth, and they had this harmony with the earth they were trying to live within. I believe that the reason why we're not that connected to the earth is because it's been trained out of us. We've never been taught how to connect with the earth and the plants and animals. From my own perspective, when I'm working on an animal, I can go right inside and be at one with the animal, whether it's a dog or I worked on a mountain lion. I've worked on 25-foot-long boa constrictors. I've worked on a lot of animals. And being connected in like that, you connect into the animal because you connect into the planet itself. I think we're still capable of it. We just don't know how.
All right, Kevin, thank you so much for the call. Let me get to a flash message here from Blue in Australia. What if the cosmic wars are currently happening right now, like Mr. Ed Grimsley and Dick Criswell, like their theories? Well, could be. Could be. Second question he asked is, 2012 could be the start, or it's a statement, could be the start of the revealing of inhabitable planets being revealed by the authorities, and then a major contact for the larger public and for the sleeping mushrooms. Could be that too. We don't know. Andrew in Australia, one thing to add due to the false stuff going on, beware the false prophet. If a UFO craft or whatever turns up, my skeptic meter will be on full alert. If a UFO or craft or whatever turns up, my skeptic meter will be on full alert. Let's see, who was that? That was Andrew. Andrew. Go check out what the book of Revelation says about the landing of something that in there is called the New Jerusalem. Check out the dimensions of that thing. 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. It's big.
Sounds call, like a Borg ship.
It could be a cube, or it could be a pyramid, because a pyramid is 1,500 miles all the way around it. I mean, it could be 1,500 miles all the way around it, and then 1,500 miles from the corners to the peak. Think of that. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming, and your 800 number isn't working very well.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
I know, but anyway, I have a question for Jerry, a question for you, and a comment.
All right.
First, Jerry, are you going to go to Peru sometime next year or later on this year? Because I can't go this time.
Yeah, I got your email about that. I don't know what the end of the year is going to be like. Chances are we will go again sometime in late September, October, like we did in 2009. I would say be on that mailing list that we have, and that way you'll be updated whenever plans like that are made.
Okay. Now, I'm thinking the Kevin from wherever it was, I don't remember the name of the town, suggested that we aren't entirely from this planet. That may be true. But how about this? Tesla always said frequency. The animals that are native to this planet may be tuned into a frequency that we are not tuned into.
Well, they certainly can hear frequencies that we cannot hear, and they can see light waves that we can't see. And I think there's probably something to what you say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now here's my question for you.
Mm-hmm.
who are you going to be rooting for this weekend, St. Louis or Arizona?
Well, it's you mean the New Orleans Saints or Arizona?
Yeah.
Arizona. However, I'll be happy no matter how this game turns out because both of those are my favorite teams.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. All right, we are just about into our final break of the evening, and when we come back, I have a couple of flash messages I want to get to. We may have time to open the phones again, and we'll just have to see. We'll be back right after this. And we are back. We're talking this evening about all kinds of different topics because it's Open Line Live. We've got a couple of flash messages we need to get to. And I want to be sure that I get these in. This one from Steve in London. He says, "Hi, Kevin. With regards to last night's show, the date that you're keeping quiet until after the event, what's going to happen if you get taken out during that event? How will we ever know?" You will know because the event will be all over the news around the world, and I won't be on the air. That's how you know if I get taken out during that event. And I got news for you. If it takes me out, it'll take Jerry out first because of where he's located. Is that a comforting thought, Jerry? Well, I guess we lost Jerry. Okay. Well,
I'm here.
Okay. What I said was if the event that Walter and I talked about, and we said we're going to keep this quiet, keep it under wraps, there's a prediction of the huge event that's going to take place. The prediction says will take place, and he's given us a date. And what we're doing is keeping quiet about who made the prediction and exactly what the prediction is. But we have it all documented, and we have a way to certify whether his prediction was accurate or not. Okay? But if it happens, the flash message says, "What happens if I get taken out in that event? How are we ever going to know?" And I said, "If I get if this event happens, it'll be all over the news, and I won't be on the air if I got taken out. But being located where you are, you'll be taken out first."
Yeah, well, exactly, and I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't either, but
I don't think.
I certainly hope it doesn't happen. I like doing this show. But anyway, let's go to the next flash message. This one from Nick in the United Kingdom. And it says, "Hi, Kevin and Jerry. Great show. Following your show about the Peruvian Andes and the cities under the lakes, I did a bit of exploration with Google Earth and came across an interesting lake north of Lake Titicaca. The lower area of this lake has what appears to me to be a step pyramid like the one you discussed. On the upper area of the lake, there is a tubular structure with what looks like a jet of water shooting out from it. I'd be grateful for your opinion, and here are the coordinates." Now, folks, get your pens and paper ready. I'm going to read these coordinates, all right? The coordinates are 14 degrees, 38 minutes, 23.34 seconds south. Let me give you that again, then I'll give you the other coordinate. 14 degrees, 38 minutes, 23.34 seconds south. All right, the other coordinate. 69 degrees, 22 minutes, 2.32 seconds west. So if you do Google Earth, look that up and see what you think about it, folks. I'm not familiar with it. Are you, Jerry?
I'm looking at it right now, Kevin.
Okay.
And I see what he's talking about. I don't know what to say. It truly is quite an extraordinary looking photo. Looks to be an elevation of 15,378 feet at the surface of the lake. And I see the tube he's talking about. Looks like it's shooting out some water or something into the lake. It's kind of hard to make out, but definitely quite an oddity.
All right. Well, let me say thank you to Nick in the United Kingdom for sending that to us. And we invite all the audience to go take a look at it. And if you do Google Earth, I can't do that while I'm on the air. I've got three, Jerry, you know this. I've got three computers I'm monitoring, and I cannot do another one.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
I've told folks that this is something like flying a 747 without the hydraulics.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this image. Actually, Kathy has something marked here in Google Earth that is just a short distance north and north by northwest. It's a small lake.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it's, she says, city and lake with a question mark, and I'm looking at it, and it looks like a shopping mall with air conditioners on top and parking, and it's just crazy looking. It's just amazing.
It may be a shopping mall. People think, when you know, if I say something like that, people think that's crazy, that's nuts. Folks, there are lots of indications that there was at one time on this planet. This planet is 4.5 billion years old. And there are indications that there were extreme high technology civilizations that lived on this planet way before we think there was civilization. It's possible. I don't know if it's a shopping mall. Do you see any signs? You see Dillard's or anything like that there?
Fashions. It says Fashions by. Hold on, I'm getting it. Fashions by Enki.
But no Bed Bath and Beyond, huh?
No, just Beyond, that's all.
Just Beyond, okay.
Kind of interesting, there's a mountain peak just exactly north of it that's 19,000 feet tall.
Is that significant?
Well, it's just awfully tall.
Yes, it is. It's even taller than you are, Jerry. Oh, my goodness. Well, folks, we're just about out of time. Now, we do have time for one really quick call if you call right now. Okay, there it is. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Kevin, this is Brett Davidson. Well, I'm Brett up in Marquette, Michigan.
Yeah, Brett.
I was just listening to your show right now, and I was going back through the K-Files. And the first part that I came across was actually something regarding the underwater cities in the Andes and Bolivia and Peru,
mm-hmm.
You know, because of all the textures in there. I had asked a friend who is into GIS, you know.
Okay, you're going to have to make this fast because you've got 30 seconds and we're out of show.
Oh, okay. Well, he was explaining to me that actually a lot of those patterns are actually caused by the because of the multitude of colors, the programs that they use actually determine patterns in the colors, and that's what actually makes a lot of those shapes.
It's it's fine to say that, except they've actually gone down in the lake, in Lake Titicaca, and found the actual temple that also shows up just like that, just like is showing up in all those other lakes. They've been down there. They've actually got photographs of it. They've been down, and there is a temple down there. So it pretty much is what it appears to be.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Thanks for the call. We've reached the end of the show, and the music has started. So it's time for me to say, my friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back. Time after time after time. I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, so long, everybody.